The Around the League podcast has been linked to on Drudge Report.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the League podcast. My name is Dan Hanses, and I'm joined by a room filled with heroes, Chris Wessling, Mark Sessler, and Greg Rosenthal. What up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Let's pick it up, Dan. You usually come with a little more
energy. That was a little low tempo. What's the...
Well, now you're in my head a little bit.
Well, what's the issue?
There is no issue. Hashtag blessed. Hashtag rise and grind.
Well, Dan's shift started today before 10 in the morning, so it's tough.
I don't want to hear it.
I'm in at 6 tomorrow, by the way. 6 a.m. So I'm all over the map. I'm the utility man of the schedule. Everybody knows this.
You're a Quinones.
Hashtag ATL mailbag, which people should use the gold standard behind the glass. Our producer, Zach Goldman. How are you, buddy?
Doing great. Thanks for the full name intro.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
The man we call the gold standard. We should tell our listeners to use the hashtag ATL mailbag on Twitter and send us questions, and every once in a while we'll answer them.
Absolutely.
Zach, usually so genteel, came with some Packers-Patriots trash talk today. I was just surprised because he's always such a nice guy, and then he just walks by, points at the Packers-Patriots Super Bowl replay going on right now. He's a Packers fan. He knows my fandom. He's just like, you like this game? Enjoy this one.
How do you really hurt a Patriots fan's feelings? No. He's like, excuse me, 3 Super Bowls post this.
I think only Giants fans can truly hurt a Patriots fan.
How like do you get to be a Packers fan via Oxford, England?
So my first grade teacher lived next door to Sean Jones.
Oh, all right.
Wow! I didn't have a team at that point, and so she lured me to the dark side of the.
You had a first. Great teacher that lured you somewhere?
I would like to be lured by a first
probably
grade
a great
teacher.
Choice of words just now.
Yeah, that's great. All right, well, that checks out. We'll sign off on that. All right, big show today. We are going to go through our list. We'll go back down into the lab. It's that time of year to do plenty of laboratory work with the scientists and go through best free agent fits. We're going to kind of – each of us are going to grab 2 names off the list and kind of pontificate. Is that the right word?
We're all putting on lab coats
today.
We were
all scientists.
Not just the scientists. Yeah.
Today we are all scientists.
Well, I think Dan and I are obviously lab partners.
Well, you guys have been studying, and you did well on your final exam, and it's time to give you a promotion.
So we'll be doing that. We're going to have a little conversation about Jimmy Graham that maybe will get Wes riled up. A big part of the show is getting Wes riled up. We're hoping that will happen.
I haven't had a good rant in a few weeks.
But we'll start, as we almost always do, the gold standard, with some news. All right, we start in Seattle, where Brandon Browner's indefinite suspension from the NFL is over. The cornerback still will miss the start of the 2014 season. He'll be suspended 4 games, and then he'll have to pass up 4 more game checks after that. But ultimately, he's surprisingly in the mix now with free agency around the corner.
If I'm Brandon Browner, I'm like, maybe I'll just be suspended 8 games. If I'm not going to get paid for 4 of them, just... keep me out. I don't want to play for free. Give me a break.
Yeah, but that strategy would affect his signing potential.
I'm not so sure that works for free agents.
I guess that's not an option, but that is weird.
You're a little bit more down on Browner than Wes and I are, I think.
Well, yeah, let's talk about where he fits as a free agent
a little bit. Wait, before we do that, though, let's talk about how Brandon Browner
stared
down the shadowy league figures and live to tell the tale. Maybe this is a lesson for all of us here and behind the glass, Zach. Whenever things start to get hairy, just double down. Maybe the shadowy league figures aren't so bad. No, we should not do that.
So basically Dan's saying if the next time some sort of dispute comes up with a superior, threaten to sue the living daylights out of them, which yes. I believe was the quote from Browner's agent. And that was the last we heard of him. And the next time we hear from them, he's back, Brandon Browner. So it worked.
It's an interesting strategy. I'll have to keep note of that.
I don't like that strategy.
All right, Greg, as you were.
I'm surprised. No one expected Browner to be reinstated, but he had a strong case. It had to do, apparently, with when he was in the CFL, missing drug tests, and whatever it was. We don't know all the details. Clearly, the NFL listened, and they came to a compromise, and now he'll be back. So you guys think he's a difference maker, Mark?
No,
Wes?
No.
No, I think you talked about how he's out for 4 games, and that's a big issue. For me, I look back on last season where Gronkowski was out for a long period of time. Crabtree was out. Von Miller was out. It, these guys, for a team that's going to sign him, Browner, and Adam as a sort of a final piece in the defensive backfield, and a playoff-type team, it's fine to not have a guy for a month.
He's also not at that level of those three names you brought up.
I'm not saying he is, but I don't have a big problem with missing a guy who's a contributor for the first month of the season. That's all I'm saying.
I think people do forget that entering this past season, he was viewed as a legitimate member of the Legion of Boom, and it was only after his suspension that people started to kind of pile on the guy and say that he was really no good anyway. I mean, is
no good. He was struggling. Totally unfair.
He was struggling in 2013, but there were a lot of injuries involved.
Point is, you know, yes, he's not a young guy, but he's not old either. I mean, he could end up being a low-cost, high-upside guy for somebody.
He turns 30, which isn't young for a cornerback. And I think he made the Pro Bowl his first year in the NFL after coming from the CFL because he had six interceptions, 200-something yards on those interceptions, and two touchdowns. So he was on the highlight reel. He was making big plays. But I think the lesson here is that you can stick anybody in that defensive backfield opposite Sherman with Earl Thomas covering your bases, and they're going to play well.
They coach him up. Exactly. I think Seattle Seahawks defensive backs right now are like New England Patriots wide receivers from the middle of the last decade. You don't want to sign them when they go away from New England, or else you're going to get a big steaming pile of David Givens or Deion Branch or David Patton. That's what Browner's going to be.
Gus Bradley is going to zoom and take this guy.
I agree with Mark. I would look for the Jags maybe to snatch him up.
Interesting news out of Buffalo, where Aaron Williams signed a four-year, $26 million deal. Really interesting because of his partner in the secondary there. Jairus Byrd is ready to leave town, and they didn't use the franchise tag. And then they go and they lock up Aaron Williams. Isn't this a little odd?
No, I think it makes sense. It means that despite what a Bill source told NFL media insider Ian Rappaport, this is totally related to Byrd. They want Williams to play center field back there, I would imagine. He's a former cornerback. He was drafted as a cornerback, so he's best suited to that coverage role anyway.
So you're saying someone would lie to Ian Rappaport?
I'm saying in the NFL, if you're
impossible.
Not lying, you're not trying.
Ooh,
I think it's a little upstate New York good cop, bad cop scenario where it's we're not going to play with Byrd here. He's going to make it hard for us. So we're going to go take your teammate, probably a guy that you text and hang out with a lot in the position room, and just give him a nice new contract. Have a nice day.
We call this pulling a Pittsburgh Steelers. Mike Wallace, you don't want our contract? We're giving it to Antonio Brown.
There you go.
That worked out well. Kind of like Carlos Dunlap, too, last year with the Bengals.
Michael Johnson.
But if I'm a Bills fan, it's annoying because, hey, we can't afford and we don't want to pay the guy who's one of the very best at his positions. So let's take the B. Give him a decent contract and keep him around.
Bills fans have been annoyed since pre-9/11,
right.
So it's just more of the same.
This is kind of a Bills type of move, a cheap move.
That's fair.
So that's a bad move then.
I think so. Well, I don't know. No, I don't know if Aaron Williams is bad on his own merit, but you hate to see someone that's better at the position leave when
it's underwhelming.
Bo and Luke Duke aren't even in Buffalo anymore, and they're still making these kind of moves.
And, Mark, as a native of the state of New York, upstate New York, there are, you said, good cops, bad cops, some bad cops up there.
I'm sure.
A lot of good cops, too.
You guys are from upstate New York.
I was born there.
But I don't like to think of Rockland County as
right,
upstate.
Right, right, right.
But
I was
but
born
Mark,
in Rochester.
Mark.
Not too far from Canada. Niagara Falls.
Did you guys know
that is upstate.
Bills fans referred to Chan Gailey and Buddy Nix as Bo and Luke Duke?
I didn't know that.
Now we do.
This is awesome. Moving on, the Pittsburgh Steelers had a busy Wednesday on the same
Wes
day.
Wes was laughing about that to himself for a minute before he made the joke and a minute after he made the joke.
I was laughing at it at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
And none of us knew what he was laughing at. We just let it go.
Some things are perfect together, like salt and pepper, peanut butter and jelly, Chris Wessling and Dukes of Hazzard. All these things. That is Dukes of Hazzard, right?
Correct.
Come on.
I forgot you
were knee-high to
chips.
A gym buck.
Was it Chips?
No, it was not Chips.
Chips was
that's California
John.
Highway Patrol.
This is where the generational divide come in. I
so
never
was
saw
it
that
Dukes
show.
Of Hazzard?
Yes.
Oh, so I had it right. So get off.
Well, you quickly hopped to get another franchise.
Me. Hashtag. Get off. moving Greg, were you saying something there?
No.
Yeah. There was a generation divide. That was like the 40 and over divide.
We could talk Full House if that's more comfortable for you.
I know my Full House. Gold Standard, I can guarantee you, he didn't know what you were talking about.
No, I was blank, but Full House, I can vibe with that.
Gold standard. Pathetic. Were you even 10 when the Jessica Simpson version of Dukes of Hazzard came out?
I was, in fact, older than 10. Okay. Thank you.
The Pittsburgh Steelers had a busy day on Wednesday. In addition to handing out contract extensions to Troy Polamalu and Heath Miller, the team also released longtime linebacker Larry Foote, offensive tackle Levi Brown, and cornerback Curtis Brown. Just kind of housekeeping for Dave Damashek's team, correct?
Just freeing up roster salary cap space.
Well, it's keeping Polamalu around. That was a decision they had to make. This is the one we expected. It's nice to see. I mean, don't you like it when players like Troy Polamalu have a chance to stay with the same team? And it was a little dodgy there. I think if he didn't stay healthy this last year, they would have cut him, but he had an okay year.
Played 16 games.
Well, yeah, look,
he was fine. He had a good year.
Well, you could have seen it if Larry Foote and Polamalu switched roles. Foote's the one that got hurt early in the year. He was one of their best players on defense in 2012. Gets hurt early in 2013, he gone. NFL,
no, nothing surprising out of Pittsburgh. They are in terrible cap hell. They're right now, I think, about 11.6 over, and I think they're not done making moves.
Yeah, everyone thinks they're cutting Lamar Woodley. Chris and I aren't. Chris has brought me around to the side that maybe they do keep him around.
Well, what do they have to gain?
You know, it
would
be great. Wouldn't you love it as a Steelers fan that you pay Lamar Woodley to go away and then he makes the Pro Bowl in another uniform?
Put him in Cincy with James
Lamar
Harris.
Woodley, he's had a bad couple of years. I know that they think he's been overweight and hasn't been in shape and hasn't lived up to his contract, but he's arguably the best talent. Oh, I said arguably. He's probably the best talent on that side of the ball right now.
I've made a strong stance against the word arguably down in the newsroom. I'm happy Wesseling has taken it to heart. Woodley is a guy that I think it's misunderstood. If he's cut now, you can still give him the post-June 1st designation, but it doesn't really help your cap situation in the short term. So why not see what he looks like in the offseason? Is he motivated? Is he back in shape? Yeah, maybe give him a shot.
Big news, Wes. You're going to enjoy this one. Chris Johnson tweeted today that his talks with the Tennessee Titans about his contract situation.
Wait, we're doing this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're doing it. Talks are at a standstill, Wes. So just so you know, I know downstairs you thought it was very important that we did this story, both on the website and talk about it on the podcast. Chris Johnson might be back with Tennessee, but he doesn't know, and neither do we. Wes.
Well, it's nice to have an update on the no update that we've had for the last 3 months on his status. Nothing has changed, but this is the NFL news business we live in order to keep up with the Joneses. Whenever somebody tweets nonsense that means nothing, we have to write about it to keep up with the other websites.
Is this like your Jerry Maguire moment where you write the manifesto?
Look, we bemoan the fact that...
Who's coming with me?
In today's NFL news coverage, we don't get an offseason because... There's all this news we have to write about. And we could change this. We are the instrument of change. When Chris Johnson tweets there's no update, you know what that is? That's a hint to all NFL writers. Don't write about me today. There's no update.
Be the change you want to see in the world.
Well, he was.
Mikhail Gorbachev, 1986.
That was him. That was Huey Lewis, actually. We're just layering on the inside jokes that none of our listeners have any idea what's happening.
Well, we were told at the Combine, there are some people from other sites that listen to this podcast. I would like to make a pact right now. Guys, when people say nothing, when there's obviously not news, let's stop making it into news.
Dan loves writing about Chris Johnson, and he was into writing this post.
CJ2K.
I, for one, wasn't going to stand in his way.
Listen, the update is that there is no update, which is actually an update when this close
to
free agency.
Well, I think we should do this for everyone.
We do.
Look, update. Andy Dalton is still the Bengals quarterback. Write 200 words on it.
Get paid. Wes, come on. You put down the violin.
That's what we do for a living. The right headline, Chris, I think that post could work. The Dalton post.
Do well, I think.
It would do very well
on our
website.
Look,
if you want to make it an analysis piece, a jumping off piece, I'm all for that. But let's not just follow every breadcrumb laid down by athletes on Twitter.
All right. Well, he made his stand, and we're happy he did. And I'm glad I brought it up in the studio.
I like that you didn't tell anyone you were going to bring that up. It was like a sneak attack.
All right. So this is not – that is the end of the news. this is a topic. It's semi-news, but I want to kind of bring it up independent of the news within the structure of this podcast. A Packers official told Mike, we talked about Jimmy Graham a little bit on Friday, I believe it was. And Wes, you had said that you were...
I said if I was running the Packers, I would at least consider the option, knowing that they haven't drafted well in the late first round, of giving up two first round picks for a difference maker like Jimmy Graham.
Well, that's very interesting, because Mike Freeman of Bleacher Report spoke to some people on this topic about Graham, and now that the Saints have put the non-exclusive franchise tag, is it possible someone would go after Graham in free agency? If you signed Graham to a contract, not only would you have to pay him the money, but you would also surrender two first-round picks to the Saints. Two interesting quotes. One is from an AFC general manager, unnamed, said, "I think the only players more valuable than Jimmy Graham are three or four quarterbacks. That's it," which I thought was very interesting. And then a Packers official told Freeman that the idea of giving up that much for a tight end was, quote, "dumb, beyond dumb, ellipses, won't happen."
I feel like he was speaking directly to me.
I hope so.
It's interesting. First of all, I don't know who that AFC general manager is. He'll probably be fired within 6 to 12 months.
Mark had a good theory.
Why?
Well, I know. I felt that it was potentially someone like Dave Gettleman or an opposing NFC South GM saying, "Listen, just call me an AFC GM, but let's drive the price up. Let's get things going." But honestly, the Packers do make some sense, because one of the three or four quarterbacks that would be valued above Jimmy Graham is on the Packers. So? If you aren't a team, if you aren't a team that's sitting on the cusp of potential Super Bowl glory, we're adding Jimmy Graham, maybe turns your offense from highly intriguing and dangerous to elite. That's who you give up two number one picks for. If for any team less than that, it's a disastrous idea.
Yeah, but is defense the problem in Green Bay? Is getting is offense the problem in Green Bay? Is getting a tight end going to put them over the hump?
Losing Finley, but adding Graham would turn that offense into an outrage.
And Wes, you asked, why I had an issue with that quote. I mean, Jimmy Graham is potentially the number five most valuable player in the entire NFL right now.
Before his plantar fascia tear last year, which nobody wants to acknowledge ever happened, you never hear a national analyst ever mention Jimmy Graham's injury. He went from averaging 120 yards a game before the injury to 50-something yards after the injury. He was a totally different player. In mid-October, Jimmy Graham was mentioned as an MVP candidate. He was the most unstoppable offensive player in the league by mid-October.
Well, are you making a case for him because he has an injury, though? Plantar fascia and foot injuries, to me, would be...
Look at Antonio Gates.
One reason not to trade for him, just because you don't have all the information on that.
That's a fair point.
I don't think you can call him the fifth most valuable player in football, healthy or not, because of the way that football operates. There are already five or six quarterbacks I'd take over Jimmy Graham from a T-building perspective in a second.
What I do agree with what you said, Wes.
Cornerbacks, he said?
Quarter.
Well, he said non-quarterbacks, right?
No. I mean, he's saying after three or four quarterbacks, Jimmy Graham was the most valuable. I'd say that's generous on Graham's part.
I would say on most lists as of mid-October, he was behind only Peyton Manning in the MVP race last year before the injury.
I would always take a top wide receiver over Jimmy Graham.
But he considers himself a wide receiver.
Wouldn't you take A.J. Green and Calvin Johnson and the very best of the best wide receivers over Jimmy Graham?
Calvin Johnson, yes. A.J. Green, I don't know.
Julio Jones.
You know I love Julio Jones.
Greg
I'd take
Little.
Julio Bryant. Jones over just about anybody.
Josh Gordon.
How about Devon
Best?
No
way Josh Gordon over Jimmy
Bess?
Graham. No way.
Best.
Devon Best.
Released today. We didn't mention that. That's part of the news.
Hang in there, Devon. That's my analysis.
I think some GMs are talking funny talk.
All right, gentlemen, it's that time. Really on a run right now with going down to the lab. So let's go down to the lab. Close the door behind. Thanks, Mark. All right.
Lyle, get out of here. What's wrong with you?
Little monster. All right, gentlemen. So,
someone pick up the phone.
Nobody ever picks up the phone. We wrote a joint piece on Tuesday for the Around the League blog, NFL.com/ATL. Is that correct? Greg shrugs. All right. Breaking down, I guess each of us took two predictions, free agents, and try to pair them with a team. So we'll just go around the room, and we'll try to be kind of quick with this. But we'll start with Wes, who postulates Hakeem Nicks to the Carolina Panthers. Sell it.
I haven't recovered from your use of postulating. Nicely done.
$3.
Well, Hakeem Nicks is from Carolina, went to high school there, was a star at University of North Carolina. So it's a homecoming for him. Dave Gettleman, their general manager, was brought up in the Giants organization for years, was there when they drafted him, so he's familiar with Nicks. They need wide receivers desperately. Ginn and LaFell are free agents. Steve Smith's future is up in the air. Hakeem Nicks comes in. Even if they keep Steve Smith, they need another receiver. So I like this fit a lot.
I just got to jump in because, you know, one of my skills that you guys don't know about as a scientist, ability to forecast the future. And those skills tell me that Wesleyan's going to include Hakeem Nicks on another piece this week. Biggest bust in free agency. So you don't think that Nicks is actually most overpaid players in free agency. You don't think Nicks would necessarily be a good idea for Carolina. You just see this as a fit. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Hakeem Nicks was ostensibly healthy last year and made not a single play all year. So, yeah, he looks like a candidate to be overpaid.
I like taking a swing on Hakeem Nicks.
That's why he's on here.
Yeah.
All right, Mark, I will throw it to you now. You predict to your Cleveland Browns they solve all their issues in the backfield with one depth signing, Ben Tate.
Well, number one, this seemed like a home run back when Mike Lombardi was the general manager there. And I think because the running back class is so, for lack of another word, crappy, like, it still makes sense because there aren't a lot of guys that you could go plug in and say this is a potential lead horse. I'm not sure Tate's that guy, but I think the Cleveland would see him potentially as that player, and they absolutely have nothing in their backfield outside of a few third down scat back types. So Tate to me is the best combination of age. He hasn't been overused in Houston. I mean, he's got durability. He's got question marks. There's no arguing that. But if they hit on him, and listen, they're ripe to overpay for him potentially too, but I see him as a likely fit for Cleveland, solving a big hole and then maybe drafting a running back as well.
We have another piece that will be going up later this week about potentially guys that can get overpaid. I'm a little concerned that Tate ends up getting too much money.
I remember that when I said that.
A minute ago.
3 minutes ago.
Did you? All right. Well, I apologize.
He's in the host chair. It's excusable.
I was busy, all right? Yeah. I respect everything you guys say. So you've seen, Mark, enough of Tate personally where you'd be comfortable with him being your guy?
Again, it's a really ruggedly thin running back class. It's not the guy I'd pick over anyone else, but of the group, of the people available.
There's always easy.
Like I said, I think they will. Again, there seems to be a common thread of you not listening to anything anyone in the room is saying.
Is ruggedly thin in style again?
Yes, it is. Like, I don't know. They're going to definitely draft a guy to pair with, I think, a Ben Tate. There aren't that many one running back backfields anymore, and I wouldn't see that being the case in Cleveland.
It's anathema.
Didn't he get coached by Kyle Shanahan in Houston?
Well, but he, you know, I had a weird thought in the middle of the night. So did their quarterback. I had a weird feeling that Cleveland may sign their quarterback.
Schaub?
Yeah, I have a weird
feeling.
It took
me a while to get
to where you were. No, in the middle of the night, I was thinking that they may bring in Schaub. They've got nothing.
Mark, I'll moonwalk past your desk if they do.
Mark, I apologize for hitting your points. It's just that it happens when you talk, you hit every relevant point, and there's nothing left
for
the rest of us.
I make it tough for you to find a second angle. I'm sorry.
It's like somebody's uncle at Thanksgiving. There's nothing left but carnage.
Is that right?
Greg, this is a very interesting one that I enjoyed quite a lot. About the Lions.
It's all for show.
Finally,
I know
finding
he doesn't
Titus
mean it.
Young. Titus Young's replacement. Forget about Nate Burleson. That's over. How about JerMichael Finley as Calvin Johnson's sidekick?
Yeah, everyone's talking about you got to get another pair of hands there. They can't afford to pay so much money at wide receiver or at receiver in general. You can't afford Eric Decker's contract, Knicks. You know, they got to shop at the bargain basement bin for wide receivers. But how about your number two wide receiver be your tight end? JerMichael Finley, take a shot. We say that we like to take a swing for the fences in free agency. Don't go for guys that are just going to be average starters and pay them a lot of money. Sign a guy in a one-year deal because he's obviously down in value coming off his surgery, and you have to check him out medically. He has to pass with it. But wouldn't that be a nice little addition for Matthew Stafford and the boys?
It would, and, you know, he does have the requisite dropsies, which, you know, will make Matthew Stafford feel at home.
Very Brandon Pettigrew-like. Well, they have to sign someone. Kind of like Mark is predicting Tate to the Browns. I mean, there's no doubt they're signing a running back in Cleveland. They have to sign one, maybe two. It's going to happen. The Lions are going to sign a tight end. It could be Brandon Pettigrew bringing him back. I think his price tag from the rumors that are out there is insane. I'd rather take a shot with Finley.
Somewhat related, I just wanted to bring this up. I spoke with James Jones, pending free agent receiver. And he had an interesting quasi-burn of Matt Stafford, I thought.
Don't make it sound like you guys were out at a bar or something like that.
I don't know where we were.
Set up through work.
Jones said that he wouldn't sign with a team that didn't have an entrenched quarterback. He had this to say. This is kind of off the cuff. It's different for me as a receiver because you need a good quarterback to be successful. Yeah, you have the Calvin Johnsons, but even Matthew Stafford's a decent quarterback. Mm. Decent. Decent bomb.
He also gave you some nuggets of some teams he was looking at.
Yeah, he was looking
at, while we're at it,
the Colts and the Chargers. He dropped them specifically as two teams, if the Packers don't sign him, which they probably
won't.
Two
great fits.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
For him and for them. I think Jones would be a really nice little second or third receiver for somebody.
I'm coming around on James Jones. I really like
him. Yeah.
And that's a good
score one for me again on the scientist battle.
They have scoreboards and scientist layers?
The fans are keeping track.
Speaking of the Colts and wide receivers, I predict that Eric Decker will land with the Colts.
Mm.
That's what I feel is going to happen. I know the Colts have perhaps a bigger need or a greater need to spend their money fixing the middle of their offensive line, which has been an issue since Andrew Luck got there. But when you think about it, Reggie Wayne, he is coming back off the serious knee injury. We don't know how much longer he'll be around or if he's still Reggie Wayne. You put Eric Decker, who Wes loves, next to T.Y. Hilton. That forms a pretty nice 1-2 punch for 7-8 years potentially. That's nice.
Well, they got the money to do it, and you know, Wes is under the impression that we keep trashing Decker, which I think the angle is more on something that you actually brought up initially, Wes, is that Decker is the wrong guy for probably three quarters of the league. He's the right guy for a couple of different offenses. He's perfect for Indy.
I don't think he's perfect unless
he's
the price is right.
If
he's paid like a number one receiver, and I do think he will get paid at least what Greg Jennings got last year, which is $8-9 million a year, I don't think he's the right
fit.
Would
you rather overpay for Eric Decker, a very good football player, or overpay for the likes of Eric Walden, Donald Thomas, LaRon Landry, and Ricky Jean-Francois in one offense?
I'm with you. I think we're all with you. I think
if you're getting a good player and you have the salary cap space, pay what it takes to get it.
I think the thing is, you don't want to be a team that has issues at quarterback and has one other maybe tangible number two receiver and then go add Decker as this number one guy. He fits in Indy where you can surround the field with all these other pass catchers, too.
It's sort of taking a page out of the Bill Pullian handbook, that when you have a guy like Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck, make sure you get him weapons every year.
That would be a brilliant move. If I'm Eric Decker, and that would be great because he's very successful and very handsome. I've been on record about that. If I'm Eric Decker, I'm taking a little less money and signing with Andrew Luck. I'm going from Manning to Luck, and I'm basically setting myself up for the Pro Bowl for, you know, the next decade. That's the move. I feel like too many of these guys get lost. They take the biggest cut. They pull a Greg Jennings, and then where are you?
Oh, where are you? You're making more money than any other team would have paid
for a
you.
Couple
and
of
you
years.
Don't care.
Yeah,
you don't care.
You'll probably be cut before you see the contract through, but and nobody will want you.
That
would
have happened anyways, and he's not going to have a job for the rest of his life that pays him 1/100th of what he makes now.
I'm with Dan on this one. If you can get $7 million for the Colts versus $9 million for a bum team, because you get more job security in Indy. You'll probably be more of a household name in Indy, more Pro Bowls. I like
And after you get cut after
those
2 years,
you don't know what teams are going
to
be good.
You probably have to sign a much lesser contract to continue your career. Let's say you're Greg Jennings in 2015. It probably, at the end of the day, you're losing money by taking more early like that.
Your argument was strong until that one.
Except one of our TV guys yesterday was saying that he was talking to a player who has the option, you think, to go to multiple teams and make this I want to go play for a winner for less money thing. And, they asked him, where are you going to go? He goes, I have no idea. He goes, my agent will tell me where I'm going. That it's the agents construct these deals. The players don't sit around twiddling their thumbs.
That's their fault.
Well, it is their fault, but that is the business to a large extent. A lot of these free agents, they go out and they get the best deal for them, and they say, this is where you're going.
It depends on the person. I guarantee you there are strong-minded people out there making their own decisions, whereas some of the people just would feel more comfortable with their agent.
I don't disagree.
And Dominican Sue wants to negotiate his own contract. That goes to the over the line of ridiculous.
Right. Matt Elam negotiated his own rookie contract, and now he's working in a shoe store during the offseason.
Well, that's not how to pitch that process. Or,
he's a very strong-minded man.
I know he is, but
he wants to get his blue-collar roots and say, hey, when I'm done with football, I need to know how to run a business. Hmm.
As long as you don't hire Master P. That's my philosophy in the NFL.
Yeah.
One of my favorite MTV Cribs episodes, Master P.
How many do you have?
I think that's the only one.
That's a great show.
I think that's the only one I've really watched all the way through. Because I was just so impressed with the self-portraits he had in every room. It was a different one.
Self-portraits?
Right. It was just gigantic oil paintings of Master P, like with a dog or out with his friends or whatever.
It sounds like Royal Tenenbaums-esque.
Almost certainly owned by the government.
Wait,
now, too.
More self-portraits or more posters of Scarface?
Well, that was part of every Cribs episode
right.
of a hip-hop star. Scarface was in there. All right, on that note.
Master P did some damage. And he made a lot of money.
In many ways.
He changed the game.
Wasn't his name Percy Miller and he tried to sign with the NBA?
Yes, he did have aspirations. Never quite made it, though.
Yeah. Oh, before we leave, I have an update on the map situation.
Go ahead.
It is ordered. The map and the tax are ordered. It should be here by Friday's podcast.
What do the tax? Are they colored, multicolored?
I did get the multicolored box, yeah.
Very good. All right. On that note, it is time for us to both leave the laboratory. So let's come up the stairs, gentlemen. But also, it's time to go. It's the end of the ATL podcast for Wednesday.
We need some stair sounds, Zach, going up the stairs.
Wait, we do.
Oh, that. We are
so
walking up the stairs.
You don't listen to the podcast. That's what was added on Wednesday, on the last show.
Well, there's a lot to get to, a lot of reading material.
Gold standard. You see that? You do all that work, adding in the sound effects.
All right.
Well, they're not sound effects. They're real. It's really happening. We're leaving a lab for real.
A short time in the lab in the studio today.
Yeah, the studio is booked, and we don't get to do our normal amount of time, allotment of time, so we apologize if you're expecting our typical length of a show. But a promise that we will be back on Friday. We're going to do, I'm thinking, a tight 46.
On Friday? You know what? Yeah, 3 days a week. We have nothing to apologize for. What other podcasts are coming at you with the
Bang.
NFL 3 days a week? There isn't
Craig
one.
He's out of his chair.
Maybe there is one. Maybe there isn't one. But we bring it.
Wes and Mark are still down in the lab. All right, let's just get out of here then. We'll find them. We'll be back on Friday. We'll be talking all about the news of the league and free agency and the draft and everything you can imagine. Until then, this is Dan Hensa signing off for the boss, the sizzler, the mailman, the gold standard behind the glass. Until Friday.
I don't know where Wesseline the character ends and the real man begins anymore.